Thank you. Good morning. Now I can tell you're all happy to be here. I can tell. And it's great for each and every one of us. It's great to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day, and each and every one of us will be richly blessed by being here. So a warm welcome to every single one of you, and a special welcome to anyone who's visiting our church today. Now then, I just want to put you in the picture about something. There are a very handsome young man and a glamorous young lady sitting over here who are visiting our church today. And the young fella's called Ryder and the lady's called Alexandra, and they are from a company called Canadian Frameline. And what this company does, this is very brief, you'll get the fuller version later when you're having coffee, is they go around the country, they visit small communities, and they assist in the making of documentary films, and they encourage the people in the communities to get involved themselves. This is the smallest community they could find. And so we welcome them. They're not from Candid Camry, you needn't worry about it. But they are here to get a taste of our small community life, and we are delighted that they join us for worship this morning. Welcome, good to have you both with us. And it's good to have everybody else here with us. When Betty Ann gets finished, we will be celebrating January birthday. So prepare yourselves. Thank you, Betty Ann.
Good morning. The announcements are as you find them in the bulletin. First of all, our ladies' Bible study of Acts is going to conclude on the 14th of February and have a recess the next Sunday. Or next Thursday, and then on Thursday the 28th, we are beginning an exciting new study based on Liz Curtis Higgs' book, Bad Girls of the Bible. Ooh. And so we welcome all ladies to come as we study the Bad Girls of the Bible. We look forward to it. On Tuesday the 12th of February, Shrove Tuesday, the gentleman will be preparing a lovely pancake supper for us between 5 and 7 p.m. The next day is Ash Wednesday on the 13th of February, and our service will be here at 7 o'clock. On Sunday, the 17th of February, is our church anniversary service, and we welcome all to share. And if you would like to become a member of the Cremona Congregational Church, feel free to contact Ian. Does anyone else have an announcement they'd like to share? Thank you.
Thanks, Betty. Okay, let's celebrate January birthdays. If you had a birthday in January or any time prior to January and we missed you, now is your time. Thank you. Where's the goodies? Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. We read in Psalm 71, "My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I, whom you have delivered." Amen. It's great to have the worship team with us and now leading us in our approach courses. Thank you.
Okay, we want to welcome you all here this morning. If you'd like to stand and join us, we're going to start out with If I Could Sing of Your Love Forever.
I could sing of your love.
Theme of love, we're going to continue with the power of your love.
Thank you.
finish off this morning with a personal favorite of mine, Awesome God.
I think there's only one word to describe that approach to our worship this morning, and that is awesome. That was great. Thanks to our worship team, and Dave said at one point there about the theme being love, and that's precisely what the theme of our worship service is today. It is of love, and we'll be talking a lot more about that a little later on in the service. We bow our heads, we join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and wonderful Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that we are here, that you have called us, each and every one, to be together in this holy place. And we are here, Lord, because our God is an awesome God. And you have touched our lives in so many amazing and awesome ways that we are here today, gracious Father, to worship you. And we are here, Holy Father, because we know when we come to worship you that you will speak your holy word to each and every one of us. And so we pray, Lord, in every aspect of this time of worship, that you will open our hearts, that you will open our minds, and that each of us, Lord, may hear your voice. We pray, gracious Lord, this day that you will accept the praise we bring, for we come in the name of Jesus. And we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
So when Dave said that Awesome God was his favorite, he wasn't really telling the truth. Because for years I always say, let's do Awesome God. And he's like, no, I don't want to do Awesome God. And I think it's a favorite because we usually sing it when we go camping, when the church goes camping up at Yaha Tindon. So when I finally got my way, and I must say it was lovely because I could tell everybody was really feeling it out there. So it was a nice thing. Anyway, so what am I doing here? I am doing the Old Testament reading, and that comes from Jeremiah, first chapter, verses 4 to 10. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am too young.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." And the responsive reading comes from Psalm 71. "In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me.
Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress.
Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel.
For you have been my hope of sorrow, my confidence since my youth.
From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you."
Thanks to Vicky for leading us in that part of our worship service, and now happy once again to hand us all over to the worship team. Thank you.
I'm also a member of the worship team, and Pat kindly agreed to take all of the rest of the piano playing if I would just play the special music. So I was glad not to have to do everything she did. I'm always a little bit hesitant to play a song that I would consider a showy piece of music. For one, it's easier to mess up on, and I guarantee I probably will make some mistakes today. But the main reason is I don't want to ever come up and make it look like, look, I can play a fancy piece of music. That's not my intention. When I was a teenager, there was a lady in our church, and I remember one time she came up in a very humble way and said, this is glory to God. He gave me a talent, and I want to use it, and I want to inspire other people around me to play music. And that's what I've always felt. I want these young ones to be able to play like this someday, and even better. That's sort of all my aspiration. And that's sort of where it comes from. But this is a piece of music I started practicing last Sunday. And I've had the music since I was a teenager, but it's called Glorify Thy Name. It's number 123 in our Red Chorus book. It doesn't have many words, but you'll probably recognize the tune. Thank you.
Thank you, Laurie. Your playing certainly glorified God's holy name, and it helped each and every one of us to do likewise. That was just beautiful, inspiring, and we worship God's holy name that he gave you that talent, and you use it to his glory. Thank you so much. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Father, we are ever thankful for your grace and for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these, our gifts. They are but humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, Father, to accept these gifts and to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. Thank you. The children would like to come and join me, please. Measuring things. When I was a boy, a little boy, I'm a big boy now, but when I was a little boy, my dad used to measure me. Does your dad measure you at all? Anybody measure you? Yeah? Your mom measures you. Well, that's your dad maybe doesn't have a tape measure, but your mum does. My dad used to measure me, and he used to write down how tall I was. And sometimes he used to take a pencil, and he used to, what? On the doorpost? Make a line so you could see how tall you were. And every day you got bigger. How tall are you? Stand here.
I'm 5.
You're 5. That's a good height. Yep.
Yep.
5 feet. Yep. Let's see how big you are. Oh yeah, 6 feet 6. Very good. You? Let's see how big your head is. Whoa, 47 meters. Wow, that's a big one. Now then, we grow every. If I measured you now, which I did some of you joking, if I measured you in a month's time, what would happen? Do you think you might have grown a bit bigger? Yeah, we grow all the time, and we grow in so many different ways. When we go to school, we grow in knowledge. We learn things, don't we, in school. And when you get a baby, who's got a baby in their house? Who's got a baby in their house? How does your baby talk?
My dad.
Your dad's got a baby in the house.
My dad.
You don't know what's coming here, do you? He's got a yellow tape measure in your room.
Oh, yeah.
That's good. What was I talking about there? Where was I?
In room.
Who's got a baby in the house?
Two.
Yeah, two babies in your house. How does your baby talk? What kind of things do the babies say? They're not really babies anymore. They're getting bigger. Who can talk real baby talk? Everybody, let's talk baby talk. Come on. Babies don't know how to talk properly, do they? But as they grow older, they learn to talk. Now, your two babies, Linnell and Evelyn, they can talk the hind legs off a donkey, them two. They're good talkers, but they weren't always good talkers, were they? They had to learn. Now then, we also learn to grow in love. And that's what our service is about today, how we grow in love. Now then, do you love anybody? Does anybody love anybody? Who do you love?
I love
you. You love your mummy and your daddy. Do you think I could measure how much your mummy and daddy loves you with this?
No.
I couldn't, could I? But you know, that's how God measures us. God measures us by how much we love people. And you can't do that with a tape measure. God measures us inside of our hearts and how much love sits in there. And that's how he wants us to grow. He wants us to grow in love. And that's what our worship is about today. So shall we just say a little prayer together? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the wonderful love that you give to each and every one of us. And we pray that you will help us to love other people as you love us. We pray in your holy name. Amen. Time for Sunday school.
We have a song this morning.
Whoop, 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 come back, come back. We have a song this morning. Thank you, David.
Okay, so
the Bible tells me so.
I'm always thankful to survive that part of the service. Relatively unscathed. We worship the Lord as we stand and sing to his glory the hymn number 92, Love Divine or Love's Excelling. Sing something for me? We come to our time of prayer. It's a great joy this morning as we were coming into church to see Elva and Peter Thatcher coming into church here. And Elva said to me, oh, she says, we are so grateful for the prayers that we have received from our church family. And you know, and I think I said to Elva, well, that's what we do. That's what we do. And we know of the power of prayer, how God hears our prayers and he responds to our prayers, and in his time he answers our prayers. And here's Elva, right with us again after going through surgery and looking so good and healthy and well, and even Peter looking pretty good as well. But it's great to have them here, and it's great to see all of our church family as we look around, and we know that each and every family here experiences all kinds of ups and downs. But our prayers to God our Father, who loves us greatly, bring us through all of these turbulent times. And so I'm a little differently today. I'm going to start our time of prayer with a prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. It's only a short prayer, but it's a beautiful prayer. And of course, it's in a long past style of language. So first of all, we pray the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, and then I'll lead us in a short pastoral prayer. We bow our heads and join together in prayer. Our Father, each day is a little life, each night a tiny death. Help us to live with faith, hope, and love. Lift our duty above drudgery. Let not our strength fail or our vision fade in the heat and the burden of the day. O God, make us patient and pitiful one with another in the fret and jar of life, remembering that each fights a hard fight and walks a lonely way. Forgive us, Lord, if we hurt our fellow souls. Teach us a gentler tone, a sweeter charity of words, and a more healing touch. Sustain us, O Lord, when we must face sorrow. Give us courage for the day and hope for the morrow. Day unto day may we lay hold of thy hand and look up into thy face, whatever befall, until our work is finished and the day is done. Amen. We thank you, Holy Father, for this time of worship and prayer, and we bring to you, Lord, our cares and our concerns. Some of our burdens, Lord, we have carried around with us for some time. But now, Holy Father, we realize our need of you. In the silence of our hearts and here in the beauty of holiness, we lay our burdens at the foot of your cross, knowing that by your grace you will hear our prayers and that you will take care of us and our concerns, and you will take our heavy burdens from us. We pray in silence. We thank you, Father, for your church, for your church universal, and for our own church family here in Cremona. We pray for your protection and for your blessing upon each of the homes represented here, and for your divine presence with those from whom we may be separated at this time. Lord, bless those who are sick or suffering in any way, and we ask you now to hear our silent prayers for those whom you have placed upon our hearts to care for, to pray for, and to worry about. We pray in silence. Lord God, as we approach a new week, we dedicate ourselves afresh to you and to your will for us. We seek your guidance, your care, and your protection for ourselves and for all of those who are dear to us. Help us, Lord, to love one another as you love us, and to especially love those who are difficult to love. Lord, hear our prayers. We pray in the name of our Lord and our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading is from Luke 4, verses 21 to 30. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' And you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.'" "Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. And our epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Thanks to Sandra for those readings from the scriptures. And now we stand again and sing to God's glory the hymn 549, Face to Face.
Behold it, Jesus Christ.
Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The Smith family were proud of their family tradition. Their ancestors, going way back, had come to the United States on the Mayflower. Their line had included senators, pastors, Wall Street wizards, and now they were to produce a family history, a legacy for their children. So they hired a well-known author, but there was a problem. There was a bit of a skeleton in the cupboard. It was great Uncle George. He was executed in the electric chair for his terrible crimes. How were they going to get around great Uncle George? The author said not to worry. He would handle that section of the family history with great tact. So when the book came out, this is what it said about great Uncle George, who was, you will recall, executed. George Smith occupied a chair of applied electronics at an important government institution. He was attached to his position by the strongest of ties, and his death came as an awful shock. Now, I'm not going to preach about the Smith family here, but I wanted to tell you that little story because things are not always what they appear to be. And so this is the case with that epistle reading that we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It also is not quite what it at first appears to be. Now this Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 13. We've all seen excerpts from this piece of scripture, beautifully presented on greeting cards, framed and hanging on walls and so on, and it's known as the love chapter. But this piece from the writings of St. Paul, widely known as the love chapter, was written by Paul for a specific purpose. But that purpose was not to give us something nice to say at weddings, at the wedding ceremony, and write in cards. It was written by Paul to fix a situation that was developing amongst the Corinthian Christians and was getting out of hand. This so-called love chapter is really about maturing as Christians and developing in the grace and truth of God. It is intended for everyone who reads it, like us today. The new church in Corinth had been richly blessed with spiritual gifts in their early days. They had experienced, and you've read about this in the scriptures, about speaking in tongues, about eloquent prophecy, about great faith in moving mountainous problems. And there had been many individual sacrifices by Christian martyrs. But as Paul said to them in his letter, all of this is useless if they did not have love. And what Paul said was, without love, they were like a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. Now, back in the first century, especially in Corinth, there was a big gong or a cymbal hanging at the temple to the entrance to most of the pagan temples. And remember, Corinth had lots of pagan temples. The idea being that when the people came to worship their pagan god, they hit this big gong or cymbal to awaken their pagan god. So here Paul says, if you could speak with the greatest of eloquence in every language known, but don't have love, then your life is as useless as this ridiculous act of pounding on a gong to awaken a god that does not exist. What is missing at this time from the life of the Corinthians, and perhaps for the present day reader, is what Paul calls agape, what we translate as love. But Paul said agape. Then Paul explains what agape is. So what is it? What is love? What is agape, as Paul actually said? Of course, this word love is a very popular word in our society. And I checked on the Amazon.com lists. And in that, on those lists, there are 2,652 books on heaven, 10,304 books on money, 18,818 books on God, and 30,066 books on love. So it's a popular subject, this love thing. Consider this love letter. Dearest Jimmy, no words could ever express the great unhappiness I felt since breaking off our engagement. Please say you'll take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart, so please forgive me. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yours forever, Marie. Now, how could you resist such a letter? But there was a PS. And congratulations on winning the lottery. Things aren't always what they appear to be. The Bible has lots to say about love. The word appears at least 650 times. But what is this love that Paul is specifically speaking about? Is it that which we fall into, like falling into a ditch? Is it like that which we fall out of, like falling out of a tree? No, this is not the love that Paul is speaking about. This is the kind of love, this falling in and out thing, that can be described as an emotion, a deep feeling. Like the eight things that Paul lists and states quite clearly that love is not. Love is not envy, boasting, pride, rudeness, self-seeking, anger, holding grudges or delighting in evil. These things are all emotions. They're all feelings that we feel inside of us. But Paul counterbalances this by giving us an equal number of things that he says love is. Love is patient. It is kind. It rejoices in the truth. It protects. It trusts. It hopes. It perseveres. It never fails. All things that are nothing to do with our emotions or our feelings, in fact, all of these are things to do with more like a way of life. This agape love that Paul speaks of is something that we've got to work at. We do not fall in agape love. We work our way into it. In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis writes this: do not waste your time bothering whether you love your neighbour. Now remember, things are not always what they seem. Do not waste your time bothering about whether you love your neighbour. Act as though you did. As soon as we do this, we discover one of the greatest secrets of life. When you are behaving as if you loved someone, you will presently come to love that person. And if you injure someone you dislike, you will find yourself disliking that person even more. But if you do him a good turn, you will find yourself disliking him less. C.S. Lewis is telling us the same thing that St. Francis de Sales said when he said, "You learn to speak by speaking. You learn to study by studying, to run by running, to work by working. And just so, you learn to love, to agape, by loving." It's brilliant, isn't it? So simple, yet brilliant. You learn to do it by doing it, and the more you do it, the better you get at it. Agape love is not something that we fall in and out of without you having any control over things. Agape love is what you do control, but you've got to work at it. You need to practice it, and like all things, practice makes perfect. The better you practice, the more you practice, the better you become. When you see couples who have been married for many, many years, it is not that which they fell into many years earlier which keeps them together. What keeps them together is the kind of things that Paul says love is. Things like patience and kindness and rejoicing in truth and trusting and having hope and perseverance. Never failing qualities. But qualities that you've got to work at. The original New Testament, the scriptures were written in the Greek language. And the Greek language is a much more descriptive language than is our English. Now, stop trying to fathom out what that says, because it's not relevant. It's just the fact that it's Greek. And the Greeks would often use a number of different descriptive words where we in the English language might use one word. And such is the case with our word love. The Greeks use several different words to describe different kinds of love. There is philo or philia, meaning brotherly love, as in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. There is eros, meaning desire, from which the word erotic is derived. And then there is the Greek word agape, which actually means I give. I give. It is a kind of expect nothing in return kind of love. It is a love which is quite deliberate, and a deliberate action on the part of the one who loves. Totally different, you see, from the love which Elvis couldn't help falling into. Agape describes the love that C.S. Lewis spoke about. And it was this agape love that St. Francis de Sales spoke of when he says, "You learn to love by loving." And agape is the word that Paul uses throughout 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. Of course, it's also been said that love is made up of two consonants, two vowels, and two fools. That's all they say. But that's the other kind of love. In verse 12, Paul says, "For now we see in a mirror, dimly." Their mirror was a piece of polished bronze, and the reflection was, as you might expect, dim and fuzzy. And Paul says, this is just like our understanding of the mysteries of God. It's dim and fuzzy. We try to understand. We're trying to understand a finite God with an infinite God with a finite mind. We can't do it. And so, the more we work at agape love, the more we work at these things, the more clearly we will see and understand the mysteries of God. And we will see more clearly and understand his love and his will for us. St. Augustine said, "Every person is born with a God-shaped hole in their heart. And when we try to fill that hole with anything other than God, the result will only be temporary satisfaction." God is the only perfect fit for that hole in our hearts. So if God is not filling that hole, then we have a life which is on a restless and a fruitless search and is but a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. You remember when Jesus spoke about the Good Samaritan? How the man regarded as an enemy of the Jews stopped and gave healing assistance to this victim of an attack? Jesus said the Samaritan showed love. And the word Jesus used was agape. The Samaritan was not in love with his Jewish enemy, but he demonstrated agape love, self-giving love, to this fellow human being. And Jesus closed that story of the Good Samaritan by saying, "Go and do likewise. Go and do likewise." And Paul closes 1 Corinthians chapter 13 with these words. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And the word is agape. It is the love that ever gives, forgives, and outlives, and ever stands with arms wide open. Love, love's design is to give and give and give. And the Lord Jesus on the cross cries out to us that God is love. For it wasn't nails that held Jesus to that cross. It was his love for each and every one of us. What is love? John 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And of course, what do you think the word is that Jesus used when he spoke those words? And of course, the word he used is the word agape. And we know what he means. It's not something that we fall in and out of, but a way of life. Someone once said, "You know what John and Paul said? You mean the apostles? No, the Beatles. All you need is love." Thanks be to God. I love you. Amen. Now for our closing hymns, if the worship team would like to come and join me and lead us in our singing. We start our closing hymns with hymn number 529, "Oh How I Agape Jesus." Oh how I love Jesus. We stand and sing to God's glory.
Oh,
God's people. Of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love, this day and forevermore.
Amen. Amen.